The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Kuf Tes Zayin, and we are 6 lines from the top of daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. So the last Amud, in the second to last parak of Masechtas Bava Metzia. So the sugya of the last few dafin was the halachis of Mashkin. And as mentioned, when the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim and in a few different places in Parshas Kiseitze governs and dictates in great detail exactly what the laws of Mashkin are. The Torah is referring to a Mashkin that was not given at the time that the original loan was consummated, but rather a Mashkin that's taken from the Malva at the time that the loan is due, to the extent that the loiva is not satisfying his obligation per the loan. So to the extent that at the time of the original loan, the loiva agrees to pledge a certain collateral to the malva, that's okay. And regardless of who the loiva is, what the financial status of the loiva is, an ani, an asher, even an almana, the loiva can pledge whatever the loiva wants to pledge. Just like you can sell whatever you want to sell, you can gift whatever you want to gift, you can pledge whatever you want to pledge. There's no halacha that would govern that. What the Psukei HaTorah are discussing is where the loiva did not willingly pledge anything, but rather the loiva borrowed money, obligated himself to pay by a certain date. That date came, the loiva didn't satisfy his obligation. The malva is upset. So the malva says, listen, you don't want to pay the loan now, that's okay. But if the very least, during this interim period, I want you to give me some form of collateral. That's what the Torah says. You have to be very sensitive, and you have to be very careful how you go about it. If you take collateral, and the person that you're taking it from is an ani, and it's something that the ani is going to need during the day, so you can have it at night, but hashiv kishivenula, you have to make sure that when the sun rises in the morning, he's going to have it. Or if it's a ksos laila, when the sun sets at night, you have to make sure that person's going to have it. If you want to take a rechayim, a rechev, or chol dover, shiyoichol nefesh, something that the person needs for parnasa that you can't even touch, that's completely off limits. If your borrower, your loiv is an almana, says the Torah, le'sachbeit begel almana, even when you collect it, even when it's okay to take the mashkin, b'chutz tamoit, v'yush asher atenoy sheboi, the person, the loiv himself is the one that has to take it out. There's one mandamer in the Gemara that says, Shmuel, that even a shliach bezin didn't have a right to walk into bezin. The point is a whole bunch of psukei HaTorah that govern exactly how the mashkin goes from loiva to malva, but again, that's all a mashkin that was not agreed upon at the time of the loan. A mashkin that was agreed upon at the time of the loan, we spoke out the lashon of the Chafetz Chaim and the Havas Chesed, all bets are off. That's already a situation where you can do whatever you want. Either way, the particular detail that the parak concludes with is the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, discussing Malva that takes a mashkin from a loiva. The thing that he's taking was used by the loiva for his parnasa. And the Torah, believe it or not, gives an example of that. The Torah says, L'yachvel rechayim v'rechev, ki nefesh u'chayvel. You're not allowed to take as a mashkin rechayim v'rechev. That was an example of something that somebody would use for parnasa. Rechayim and Verechav were two components of the Rechayim. If somebody would take the Rechayim, being that it's made up of two components, he'd be over two lavin. Lo yachvo Rechayim, that's one component, for Rechav and the other component. If you only take the Rechayim part, or you only take the Rechav part, you'll be over one of the two lavin respectively. And then the Torah concluded by saying, Ki nefesh uchayvel. And that's clearly coming to be marba, that let's say your borrower is not in the Rechayim Verechav business, but let's say he's a barber, for example, so he uses scissors. He's a baker that uses an oven. If you take his medium that he uses for parnasa, regardless of what it is, there's a lav shebeklolus. The Torah says not only lo yachvo rechayim v'rechev, but also lo yachvo kol davar where you could say ki nefesh hu chayvo. We had a machlokes hamayram in the Gemara, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. What would be if somebody was over the lav of lo yachvo rechayim v'rechev, or lo yachvo rechayim, or lo yachvo rechev? Is he also over this general lab of kinefesh uchayvel or not? Meaning, that's poshid if you take scissors from a barber, an oven from a baker, you're over la yachvel kinefesh uchayvel. That's this general lab. You'd get malchus for it too. The question is, when you're anyways being over la yachvel reichayim varechem, are you also over kinefesh uchayvel? On the one hand, kinefesh uchayvel is all-inclusive, b'chal nasayimana. If it includes the barber scissors, then it should include the reichayim varechem as well. Or do you say the Torah already singled out a specific law for Rechayim V'Rechav? So once you're getting Malkus for being over Le'achvel, Rechayim V'Rechav, because of the lav shebeproti, then maybe it doesn't make sense that you should also get malchus for the lav shebeklol. So it was a machlekes. Rav Huna said that choval rechayim loikeshtayim. Mishum rechayim u mishum ki nefesh u choyvel. Rechayim vo rechev lo yikusholosh. Mishum rechayim vo rechev and mishum ki nefesh u choyvel. Meaning, you're not only going to get lav for the particular lav of rechayim vo rechev, but you're also going to get lav for the malchus for the lav shebeklos. Rabbi Yehuda argued, Rabbi Yehuda said, chovo rechayim loike achas, rechev loike achas, rechayim vo rechev loike shtayim. In other words, you're not going to get malchus for the lav of kinefesh uchayvul when you're anyways getting malchus for leyach vo rechayim vo rechev. Gemara said that at first glance, lema abaye v'rova bepluktid ravun of Rav Yehuda Gamifligi, there would seem to be a very similar machlekes in shas between another two gedolei amayroim, abaye v'rova. Machlekes over there was a completely different context. It was with regards to the preparation of the Karban Pesach. We know the Karban Pesach had to be eaten roasted. Chinuch says it's because the whole idea of the Karban Pesach was Zeicher L'Cheirus, and apparently back in the day, if you were cool, if you were a melech, if you were someone of important status, you ate your food roasted, you didn't eat it cooked. So to eat the Karban Pesach cooked was sort of an oxymoron. It defeated the whole spirit of what the Leil HaSeder is all about. Either way, so the Torah says, Al Toich L'Menu, no, you're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach half-cooked. U'basham L'vusham Amayim, I mean it can't be medium rare. It also can't be well done. Ki Imtzli Yesh, the only way to eat the Karban Pesach is if it's roasted roshay al krov ve'ar kirbay. Now that's pashit. If somebody would eat the Karban Pesach no, you'd be over the lav of al toichlu mimenu no. If you eat the Karban Pesach cooked, you'd be over the loisasei of al toichlu mimenu boshal mevoshal mamay. The question is, being that the Torah also said ki im tzliyesh, and that would seem to connect itself to the beginning of the pasuk of al toichlu mimenu no. So do you say that when somebody eats the Karban Pesach no, in addition to being over al toichlu mimenu no, he's also over this lav shebeklolos of ki im tzliyesh? Or no? Because once you're getting malchus for eating it no, you can't be over now another malchus for the same exact lav of ki im tzliyesh. And that's a machlokes of Avi Rav, and the Gemara thought that it's a perfect analogy to our discussion. Again, the same shiloh. Do you say that being that you're anyways getting malchus for leyach vol rechayim v'rechev, the lav prati, so you can't get lav for the lav kloli of ki nefesh uchayvel, or not? And then the Gemara had a dichoy. Either way, that's a summary of Daf Kuftas Vav Amud Beis, which we saw quickly at the end of yesterday's Daf. Regardless, what we have is a machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in our sugya with regards to the laws of Mashkin, and we pick up on that note, six lines from the top of Kuf Tezayin Amal. Tanya Kavasid, Rav Yehuda, a braisa that would seem to support Shitas Rav Yehuda that holds that you do not get malchus for the lav shebekloli, for the lav of ki nefesh u'oichol, when you're anyways getting malchus for leyach v'rechayim v'rechev. The braisa says as follows, chaval zug shal safarim, if somebody took a mashkin from his borrower, and the mashkin was scissors, and his borrower was a barber, so you took away his means for parnasa. V'tzemet shal poris, so the yoke that he used to plow with his poris in the field, chayiv shnayim, he's going to get malchus twice. And the chiddush is that even though the scissors is one, so you would think, why are you getting two malchus? But being that the scissor was made up of two components, there were two metal pieces that were drilled together, and that was the scissor, it's for that reason you're going to get malchus for each independent component, and the same is true for the yoke of the part. Zeb ba'atzmi, zeb ba'atzmi. What if you took part of the scissor? Enechayiv ala achas. V'tanya idach similar braisa, chav azuk shal tzaf. Again, you took the scissor from a barber or the yoke from these paroys. I would have thought you should only be chayv one. Right, makes a lot of sense. It's one scissor. So why should you be chayv one? We learn from leyach for rechayim v'rechev that you're in fact chayv two. Why? Just like the rechayim v'rechev are really two components of this rechayim. And what's the halacha? You get malchus twice. You get malchus for the rechayim component, and you get malchus for the rechev component. Av kol dvarim. So too, anything similar to that. Shem shnei kelim miyuchadin. You have two kelim that come together. Va'isem halacha achas chayv azeh b'fnei atzmai v'zeh b'fnei atzmai. So the reason that you're going to get malchus twice for one scissor is the same reason you get malchus twice for one rechayim. Just like the rechayim, you get malchus twice because it's made up of two components. And just like if you would take one individual component, you get one. If you take both components, you get two. And you don't say that, being that it's oisim alocha achas, one malchus. No, we look at the individual components, you get two malchus. Same is going to be true with regards to the scissor. So why is this tanya kavasa to Rabbi Yehuda? Because according to Rav Huna, you should get malchus three times when you take away the rechayim v'rechev. One for the rechayim, one for the rechev, and one ki nefesh u'oichel. The Braisa says very clearly that you're going to get malchus twice. Thus, tanya kavasa to Rabbi Yehuda. Who gathered the chavos akina dashkafta mechavit? It was somebody who had loaned money to his friend. His friend was a sheikhet. He had a chalaf, the knife that he used to use in the shlachtos. And the malva went, he took this chalaf away as a mashkin when the loan came due and it hadn't been paid. Also, l'kamida abayo, the shayla was brought to abayo. Meaning, did the malva have a right to take it or not? Omales, abayo told the malva, zila hadre, you have to take this chalif, and you have to give it back to your loifa. You have no right to keep it. The reason is because this is what this borrower uses for parnasa. So it's the same as the rechayim v'rechev. It's the same as the zug shal safarim, the tzemet shal paris. If the loifa uses this to make his parnasa, to pay his bills, you have an obligation to give it back to him. He said, what then? V'tok kum bedina. And then afterwards, if you want, you can take him to din Torah. And you can try to fight it out with him. Rashi says, what will happen when he goes to the Torah? So Rashi says, "Im moidu l'cha oyim yesh edim yishalim." If he's going to admit that he owes you the money, or if edim are going to come and say he's going to owe you, that he owes you the money, he'll have to pay you. I mean, you can't take the mashkin, but you have to go through the usual course of the legal system to try to get paid. V'im lav, and if he denies, yishav eshfos hasis. So Rashi gives us a high-level chazara of how Hilchas Tayin V'Nitin works. I'm not sure Rashi had to speak this out. But either way, you can't keep the mashkin. You want it, you have to make believe there's no mashkin over here. If he admits, if you have Eden, Ashrecha, if not, we'll get involved in Shavuos Hesis. The bottom line is that you have to return the chalif and take him to court. Rava argued on this last piece. Leitzarech l'mekim bedina. I agree, you have to give it back to him. Nothing to talk about. You can't take somebody's means of parnasa as a mashkin. But at the same time, this person does not have to go to din, v'yochal litoin ad kidei demeim. Meaning, you could force him, without shvuas heses, you don't need edim, you can force him to pay you now up to the amount of what the mashkin was. So if there was a $10,000 loan, and the mashkin was worth $1,000, you have to give it back. But at the same time, he's going to have to give you $1,000. He's for sure going to have to give you that. And the reason is because you have a migu, Rashi says. The migu is you could have said that it was yours. Why did you even have to admit that it was a mashkin? You could have said, l'kuchi b'yadi, I bought it from him. So once you're acknowledging the fact that it's his and you're giving it to him, it makes you automatically zakai bedin up to that amount. Does Abaye not hold of this idea that if somebody's holding metaltalin in the context of a toyin v'nitin, that he's believed based on a migu that he could have said l'kuchi biyadi? Maishno, why is this different than a classic case in Perakhas Ksabatim? Mihanu easy da achli chushl narda. There were goats that once ate sa'irin, they ate barley in Ardov. Also marad chushl v'tafas luhu, and the owner of the barley was not happy that these goats were eating the food in his field, so he grabbed him. V'katon tuva, and he came to court and he said that these goats that he's now muchsakin, he's grabbing these goats, he said that they've been eating my sa'irin. I want the owner of these goats to pay me. Abu Shmuel said, that up to Kedei Demeim, he's guaranteed he's going to win. He for sure gets. The reason is, Migu, he could have said that the goats are his. Meaning, he could have kept the goats that had value. So up to the value of the goats, for sure this person, who's the real owner of the goats, is going to have to pay him. So you see that when I'm holding on to metaltalin, I'm believed with a migu that I could have said l'kuchi biyadi. So the same is going to be true over here. So freik the Gemara Kasha, why did Abaye say give back the mashkin and I'll meet you in court? Why is he at least not zakat bedin up to the value of the knife, just like this person, the balas ha'oir, who grabbed onto the goats, was zakai bidin up to the value of the goats. So the Gemara says, "Hasam lav midi da avda lo shuli aguriyu." Hacha midi da avda lo shuli aguriyu. The difference is very simple. Goats, people don't lend. People don't think, I borrow your goats for the day. No one's asked me that anyways. So being that people don't do that, so over there, you're believed, tainas muchzik, you could have said, l'kuchi biyadi. You'll tell me, how do I know that you bought it? Maybe really it belongs to the other guy and he loaned it to you. No, people don't lend these things. So once you're muchzik in it, there's some sort of nemonis. Chazaka kol mashatachas yadad marei ushalai. So the fact that he admit that it belongs to the other guy, at the very least, he has some sort of nemonis based on the kayach atayin of migu. But this over here is not, so that's something where people don't lend. Thus, you have the taina. But a knife, people do lend. Being that people lend it, so over there you don't have this taina of lekuche hibiyadi. It takes away the whole chazaka of kol mashatachas yadam bereyu shaloi. So of course, Abaye agrees in principle that there's such a concept. There's this type of chazaka. Thus, it would translate it to a migu that you could have said lekuche hibiyadi. But it's only going to work if there's no reyesa. Maybe the guy lent it to you. So if it's something that's lav midi da avdul shuli da guri, over there you have the migu of you could have said lekuche biyadi, and that's the pshat in the story of hani izi da achli chushu ben arda. But something that people lend, such as a knife, why wouldn't somebody lend this knife out? Over there the halacha is going to be different. Says the Gemara, and how do I know that this chilek is true? The shalach rafuna bar rabin tvar masu lahashu lahaskir v'omer lekuche biyadi einoy neman. If it's something that's also lahashu lahaskir, you don't have a taina of the kuchi biyadi, you're certainly not going to have a taina migu that I could have said the kuchi biyadi. And it's for that reason, Apa says the Gemara, but Rava lesley haisfaris. And now let's flip it back to Rava. Rava said that you are believed with a migu that you could have said the kuchi biyadi. So even though you have an obligation to give back this knife, meaning you couldn't have taken it as a mashkin, and once you admit that it's a mashkin, you have to give it back. But at the very least, you don't have to find Adim for that dollar amount, because for sure he has to give it to you. Migu, you could have just kept it. The kasha is, why do you have a migu? To the extent that it's a dover asur lahashal lahaskir, you shouldn't have the migu that you could have said lekuche biyadi, unless you tell me Rava doesn't hold it at svara. But the Gemara says, v'Rava lesley hai svara, v'Rava apik zuza sar bila. Rava once took a zuga, which is a scissor from that was used to shear wool, the safra da gadata and sifri agadata, svarim of Agadato, Miyasmi, Bidvorim, Asuyin, Lahashu, Lahaskar. He said and had it, and he didn't allow them to keep it with a taina of Muchsik, because he felt that it's a Dover Ha'asu, Lahashu, Lahaskar. Meaning, you see that Rav agrees with this principle, that if it's a Dover Ha'asu, Lahashu, Lahaskar, then the idea is that we assume that you don't have a migu. So how come over here he did have it? Amalach Rav, Rav is going to tell you, Hainami, Kiman, the Mifk, that this is something that in fact people don't lend. Meaning the hanacha was that people lend a chalef. No, nobody lends a chalef. The reason is because they were expensive, and if it has a little bit of a pgam, it can make the animal into a treifa. It can have major issues with a bad chalef. And it's in fact something that people don't lend. Meaning there's no real machlokes abayi v'rov over here. Everybody agrees that there's a migu, you could have said lekuchi biyadi. You see that from the story of Hanu Izi, the achli chushul ben arda. Everybody also agrees that if it's a dover asu lahashu lahaski, you don't have the chazaka komach shetachas yadodam hareyu shaloi. The shaila in this maisa over here by Yahu Gavre the Chaval Sakina Dash Gafta Mechavre was, do we look at this chalif as a Dover Asir Lahashu Lahasker, which is what Abaye said, or do you not look at it as a Dover Asir Lahashu Lahasker, which is what Rava said? Thus there was an afkamina, meaning they both agreed you couldn't take it as a mashkin, because it's included in the end of the pasuk of Layachla Rechaim Varechev Ki Nefesh Uoichel. It's something that the Levi used for Parnasa. The Shaila was merely whether are you going to have to meet the guy in court regarding Ad Kidei Demeim or not. According to Rava, he had a koyach hatayin of migu. You could have said lekuchi biyadi because he didn't see it as a davar asel lahashkel lahasker. Abaye didn't see it as something that is not asel lahashkel lahasker. As a result, you don't have a migu, and that's why Abaye held come the sok kum bedina. You would have to prove even ad kidei demeim that that belongs to you. And hadron halach perik hamikabel. So before we start the last part of perik. Mesechtes Bava Metzia, just a few untied ends that we have from this week. So yesterday, we spoke out Gevaldige Kasha from the Mardchai. The Mardchai asked that he doesn't understand the lav of Loisovay El Beisoy, Lavayt Avoytoy. That if a Malva wants to go after a Loiva, he wants to take a Mashkin from him. So the Torah says, under certain circumstances, it's okay. But at the same time, you're not allowed to enter the Loiva's house. Then there's an asei b'chutz tamoid. You have to stand outside. Freik the Mardchai, there was a discussion in the Perek. What about a Shliach Bezdin? Does a Shliach Bezdin have a right to go in? Or does a Shliach Bezdin not have a right to go in? And there was one side in the Gemara that the Shliach Bezdin does have a right. Meaning, even though the Malv himself, but the Shliach Bezdin's different. Bezdin has a right to go into the Loiva's house and take it away. So, Freik the Marchet, there's a sugi in the beginning of the third paragraph of Sachdis Bava Kamo, of it, Inish, Dina Lenafshe. That means a person could sometimes put on his Bezdin hat and act on his own to prevent some sort of damage from happening to him. Here you have a loiva that owes a malva money. He doesn't want to pay. L'chura, the malva, should have a right to say that I want to act as a shliach bezdin, ovid inish dina l'nafshe, enter the loiva's house, just like the shliach bezdin has a right to enter the loiva's house and take his mashkin. So to the extent that a shliach bezdin is allowed to enter the loiva's house, l'chura, freik demarchai, every malva should be allowed to enter the loiva's house, midin shliach bezdin, based on the principle of ovid inish dina l'nafshe. Says the Mordechai that this is a raya gedoyla to a yesoid that Rabbeinu Meir said, Rabbeinu Kleinim has said, that apparently other Rishonim said as well, the Urayim, that lo ovid inish dina l'nafshe, that's only if you're going after something very specific. So if I have a specific item and somebody took it and I see that specific item in that other person's house, or if I want to prevent somebody from taking my specific item, we're dealing here with a chefetz misuyim, that's the lashon Rishonim, over there, ovid inish dina l'nafshe, to prevent that damage from happening. However, if it's not something specific, it's just more of a general obligation that one person has to the other, I can't go and act as bezin to make that person fulfill the general obligation that he has towards me. So over here, where Reuven loaned money to Shimon, the loan happened a year ago, now that money is long gone. Right now, you want to go after him, and you want to take money from him? Being that it's not a dover mesuyim, you don't have the halacha of Ovid Inish Dina Lenachshe. I saw a gewaldige chiddush in the Michas Chinuch. The Michas Chinuch, a mitzvah, Tav Kuf Pei Hei, I meant to bring the Michas Chinuch with me, says a gewaldige chiddush. He says that it could be that even though the Torah says, Loisavoy el Beisoy, Lavet Avoytoy, it could be that's only true when the Malva wants to go for the first time to take a mashkin from the Loiva. So the Malva loaned the Loiva money. The loan came due, the Loiva didn't pay. The Malva knows that the Loiva has an asset that has some value. He'd love to have that asset in his possession as collateral for this outstanding loan. Says the Torah, given certain circumstances, that's okay. However, Loisavi al Beisai, Lavet Avoyte, not allowed to enter his house. Rabbeinu Bachi said, it's a Midas Rachmanis. The Chinuch said, hashtag Hefkevelt. It's not something that we want you to do. We don't want you running into somebody else's house. Bachutz Tamid, you have to stand outside. Says the Michas Chinuch, what would be if the Loiva went very nicely, he met the Malva at the front door, and he said, here's the collateral that you wanted. Now, the sun is setting. The mashkin that the Malva took is a ksus layla. The Torah says, hashav tishivenula, you have to give it back. The next morning, when the Malva comes back to the Loiva to take the mashkin since faith in Ma, is he still going to be governed by this lav of loisavi al beis loilavet avoytei? Or maybe now he has a right already to enter his house. So at first glance, you would tell me, what's the difference? It'd be very big chiddush to say that should be a chilek. But says the Michas Chinuch that based on the Gemara on the top of Daf Kuf Tes Vavam and Aleph, I have a little bit of a svara. Because the Gemara said that if somebody's malva ala mashkin, once the malva gets the mashkin from the loiva, whether he returns it or he doesn't return it, the aloch is shvius is not meshamet that choiv anymore. And Rashi gave a beer. Why shvius not meshamet that choiv? The mid the mashkin, eh? Because as soon as the loiva gives the mashkin to the malva, can the malva is kind of the mashkin. And when he gives it back to him, have a pekodin gabe. Now he's already giving him a pekodin. So if he's already giving him a pekodin, so shvius is not meshamet pektoinos. She is meshamet halvois. It's not meshamet pektoinos. There's a beautiful lamdish Rashi tucked away here on the top of Kus that's vavam and aleph. So to the extent that we deem this money as a loan, so shvius governs loans. Shvius is meshamet chayvus. That's the halach of shmitas ksofen. But once the loiva gives the mashkin to the malva, the malva's kind of the mashkin. When the malva takes the mashkin and gives it back to the loiva, it's like a regular shayim pekodin. Oh, it's a pekodin? Shvius is not meshamet. It doesn't govern pektoinus. As a result, the aloch is shvius will not be meshamet this choiv at this point. Says the Minchas Chinuch, you see here a dover nifla, that when the malva gets the mashkin, it changes everything. We don't look at it as a loan anymore, but rather we look at him as being a the owner of the chayfetz. He's gradually giving it now to his loiva as a pekodin. Says the Michas Chinuch, there's no halacha anymore of loisavei al beis lavet avoytei. What's the halacha of loisavei al beis lavet avoytei? You're my loiva, you're my borrower, you owe me money. I want to take a mashkin for the loan that you owe me. Says the Torah, b'chutz tamay, loisavei al beis, you're not letting go inside. But if I give you a pekodin, you're my shayim pekodin, you don't want to give it to me. You know what you are? You're a kofer b'pekodin. Rav Sheshet said in the end of Masechus Bava Kamma, a kofer b'pekodin is a gazlin. So it's poshit. Then if you're my guy, I'm allowed to walk into your house and take it from you. That's not not loisavi al beis. Loisavi al beis is halacha in hilchas malva v'loiva. There's a halacha that I can't go for an outstanding loan and take a mashkin. But to the extent that it's my item that you're withholding, it's poshut that there won't be a lav of loisavi al beis labit avoytai, because now you're acting as gazlin, not as loiva that doesn't want to pay. Bottom line is, that's what the Mechas Chinuch suggests. But at the end, he says, L'shoynes, he says, as much as I love the Svara, and I think it's very gishmak, but it's very difficult for me to even write such a kula, especially with a loisaseh in the Torah. It's one thing you want to make a comment like this in a Lashon HaRishonim. There's a pasuk in the Torah, loisaveh avoytai, and the Mechas Chinuch is being derish time of the Kra, and he wants to say that maybe it would only apply to the original collection of the mashkin, but once I have it and give it back for the second time, I would be able to take it. Either way, he loves the svara, but he's very uncomfortable issuing the chiddush. But I'm just thinking that according to this Mardchai, it's pashut that the Mechas Chinuch is gerecht, because the Mardchai had a more general problem with the sugya. He says, what happened to Avadinish Dinu Lenashe? Why should this be any different? And he was so persuaded by the kasha that he said a gevaldige chiddush. Vaistois Avadinish Dinu Lenashe only works when it's a chefetz mesuyim. But when there's no chefetz mesuyim, you can't say abadinish dinu l'nafshe. So I was thinking that the first time that the malva goes over to the loiva and he wants to take something, keneged his chayv, so now he's going after this general abstract obligation that the loiva has towards the malva. There's no chefetz mesuyim at stake. As a result, you're not going to have abadinish dinu l'nafshe. But once the malva gets the mashkin, now this is mine. So when the malva goes to the loiva the second time and he says, give me back the mashkin that I gave you last night, he's not going after something. There's something very specific he wants. The mashkin that you gave me, that I gave you back, you have to give me again. And it's not just, it's the same mashkin. There's a lumdus over here. It's actually mine. So now, forget the halachis of leisavi al-beis alavet avoytoy. You're right, the Mechas Chinuch said you're going to start being magdil leisavi al-beisoy. That's already difficult. But there's another sifkat in Shulchan Aruch, Hashemish Batsim and Dalit, the first daf in Perek Haminiach and Esachtes Bava Karmo. You have Avadinish Dino and Avshe. So now we can go based on the sugya of Avadinish Dino and Avshe. We're dealing with a chayfetz mitzuyim. It's pashit. There should be no level. So it could be Enechanami mitzad the malva sheboy. It would be very difficult to be machadish and be derish time of the Kra and say that even though there's a lav for the malva of Leisavi Abesai, in this case there's no lav for the malva of Leisavi Abesai. But I think to the extent that the malva already took possession of it, he was koinit, and now he gave it back to the loiva, when he goes the second time, al tshliach bezdin, he has a right to take it. Because al tshliach bezdin, now that we're dealing with a chevetz mitzuyim, you have the halacha of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe. That's the more lamdasha ha'ara. It relates to a lighter ha'ara to conclude the parak, and that is, so this week we learned really two halachas in the daf. We learned the halacha of b'yoy maititein tzchare, the halacha that if somebody works for you, you have an obligation to pay him literally right after he did the work. So he could have worked for you for a year, and he finished working 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Before Shkia of that day, you have to pay him. And sometimes the payment would even have to be made in the middle of the night. The Torah says, five lavin, one asay, sugyas aruchas and shas, difficult halachas as it relates to halacha lemaisa. There's an idea that you have to pay immediately. There's no terms, nothing. You have to pay him ASAP. The second half of the week, we learned about the halachas of mashkin. And we saw that the halachas of mashkin are governed also very interestingly, from a Chayshah Mishpat standpoint, to the point where it would seem, we spoke this out, that it's governed less by Chayshah Mishpat and more by the world of Ahavas Chesed, which is where the Chafetz Chaim wrote these halachas. The idea of Hashiv Teshivenuloi, Bachutz Tamoid, the idea of Leisachboi Bagad Amonah, Leyachol Rechaim Varechev, Kinefeshu Chayvel, and the theme is that you see the way the Torah looks at Chayshah Mishpat, that you don't say, this is business, it's not personal, it's not the way it works. But even in the world of business, it's very much personal. The idea of Ribbis, one of the real themes here in Masechtas Bava Metzia, you see this over and over and over again, how much the Olam HaChesed governs basic business transactions, basic malva v'loiva. You have a loiva who's not paying his loan. Eved loiva le'ish malva. That's really the way it's supposed to be. Yet, we cut him so much slack over and over and over again. And it's all, like Rabbeinu Bechaya said, it's midas harachmanos. It's taka, not something that makes sense. It's not rational. It's not something that the Umar Sa'olam have in their judicial system. It's something that we have as Yidden. And it's predicated on the idea that we're not on this world to make as much money as we can. We're on this world to do chesed. And that's a big part of what our tachlis is. And even though it's in a business setting, in a very cold, distant, aloof business transaction, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you have to be a bal chesed, you have to be sensitive, and so many basic halachas of Shulchan Aruch are governed by the laws of chesed. And I just wanted to segue that into one vart on this week's parsha, Parsha Shemois. So there's so much to talk about in Parsha Shemois. But the pasuk says, Vayelechish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. Chazal say, the ish mi beis Levi was Amram, the woman from Bas Levi was literally Levi's daughter. That was Yecheved. Vatari Isha Vatelet Ben. Vatera Isa Kitoivu Vatitzbeneu Shloisha Yerachim. They gave birth to a child. This was at the time that Pari had made a gzera, that any boy that's born, so they had a boy, they hid him for 3 months. They couldn't hide him anymore. So the pasuk says that they put him into the Yamsa. Vatera Bas Pari Luchasayor. Bas Paroi. Basio went to go bathe in the Yor. V'nareseh holches ayada Yor. V'ateres ateva b'teichasof. And she sees this teva. V'tishlach asamasa. She stretches out her hand. Chazal say a miracle happened. V'tikochel. And she takes the baby. V'tiftach. She opens it. V'tireo asayelet. V'nei nar boicho. And there's a baby. And he's crying. V'tach malolov. She was overwhelmed with compassion for this child. V'toymer. And she said, Mi'yaldei ho'ivrim zeh. I see that this is a Jewish child. V'toymer el choysoy el Bas Paroi Ha'elech V'Karasi. She calls him Moshe. And of course, the rest is history. So two ha'aris. Number one, I saw in the Heilig Chasam Sofer, he says that if you do the back of the envelope arithmetic, what date did this event take place on? Moshe was born on Zayin Adar. The Pasuk says that V'titzpeneu Shloshi Yerach, they waited 3 months. And they put him into the Ya'ar. It happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was exactly 3 months old. If he was born on Zayin Adar, it's Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. It happened on Zayin Sivan. You know what was going to happen many, many, many years later on Zayin Sivan? Moshe Rabbeinu was going to stand at Har Sinai. He was going to be Mekabel the Torah on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Says the Chasam Sofer, this was a day that was destined to be Moshe's day, when he was going to be Mekabel the Torah, that he was going to be able to bring people closer to Hashem. This story was a microcosm of that. Here you have Bas Paroi, who's coming right now to see Moshe. And what did Chazal say? Vaterit Bas Paroi luchatzayor. She didn't just go to bathe. Lirchot migilulei beisavio. Moshe Rabbeinu says the Chasam Sofer, soon as she saw Moshe, she was overwhelmed. She decided that she's going to be Megayer. Moshe Rabbeinu later was going to be Megayer an entire nation. But as a little baby on that same day, he was already Megayer Bas Paroi. Bas Paroi became a Giyoris on that day. It was Zion Sivan. It was the day that was destined for Moshe Rabbeinu to do his thing. It reminded me of another Chasam Sofer. In Chedushei Chasam Sofer al Hashas, in the Sechta Shabbos, the Gemara says there were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did midaitoi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to it. One of them was Chusuf Lo Yoynechot. Hashem really wanted to give the Torah on Vav Sivan. Moshe said, no, I don't want the Torah to be given on Vav Sivan. I want it to be given on Zion Sivan. He pushed it off a day, and Hashem was okay with that. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's idea to push off Matan Torah from Vav Sivan to Zion Sivan. I saw once from the Chasam Sofer, he says, why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to push it off a day? So he says something unbelievable. He says that we know, a Pikabola, there's an idea that a person on his birthday has a special mazel. So the day that a person's born, there's a special mazel that he has. Ben Ishchai says that the story with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he was Zoicha, that even though he was 18 years old, he looked like a Zokin Megudel. He had this very mature look that made him appropriate to be the Nasi of Klal Yisrael during that era, happened on the day of his birthday. It's Bedayikin in the Gemara. They say, B'ni, ani ayoyim yilad deticho, sh'al mi meni va'etno. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. That today's the day you were born, ask me, says Hashem, anything you want, and I'm going to give it to you. So Alpi Kabbalah, this is an idea that a person has a mazel toiv. He has a special good mazel on the day of his birthday. Says the Chasam Sofer, the same is true for the day that he was conceived. So if a person would know the day he's conceived, that day is a yoyim mazel as well. Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. If you go back 9 months, it means that he was conceived on Zayin Sivan. Do the math. He knew that Zayin Sivan is a mazel degedeh. And being that he knew that Zayin Sivan was a mazel degedeh, he davka wanted that this mission that he was given by Hashem should play itself out on a day that he knew that he had a mazel tov, because like this, he felt more confident that he was going to be successful in what it was he had to do. And his job was to be mekabel the Torah. His job was to be megayer and be mekarev a nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, Vav Sivan, I'm better off doing it on Zion Sivan. Let me push it off one day. It's a day that I know I have a good mazel, and that's the day I'll be mekabel the Torah. You have to be a chassam sofer to say something like this. This is the same idea. You see that Zion Sivan is a day that actually in Moshe Rabbeinu's life already played itself out, where you see he was Megayer Vaspira. Either way, you can work on putting those Tuchsam Seifers together. But the Pasuk said, Vatered Vaspari Lucher Tzayor, Vatiftach. Paray didn't just go to bed, but she went lirchot alayor lirchot migilule beisavios. I once heard from Yeshua Soloveitchik Shlita. He spoke this out in Chumashir in Parsha Shmois. He said over a story that when his father Beryl was escaping Nazi Germany, the end of the Holocaust, together with his father the Brisker Rav, so they were on a boat, and this boat was going to take them to Eretz Yisrael, and there wasn't food on the boat that the Brisker Rav was comfortable eating, as you can imagine. And he wasn't eating. Mitamol, one of the people that worked on the boat, comes over to the Brisker Rav, and he says that, I notice you haven't been eating. If you want, I can give you some food. And as soon as Brisker Rav heard that, he got very, very nervous. He got very worried. And Rebbe said he had a look as if he was very spooked. The Brisker Rav followed this person. And he said he took him to the bottom of the boat, and he opened up a door, and he locked the door. And he said, now let me give you what I want to give you. And again, the Brisker Rav during this entire period was very, very scared. He didn't know what was happening. And he pulls out some vegetables and he tells him, would you eat these vegetables? And the Brisker Rav said, yeah, I would eat it. So he says, anytime you're hungry, come down here. I'm going to take care of you. And afterwards, he told the Rav that, I want you to know that I'm a Yid. And I know who you are, and that's why I'm taking care of you. You have nothing to worry about. And when the Brisker Rav heard that, he smiled. So he told his son Rav Beryl afterwards, that you think that the reason I was scared is because I thought that, you know, maybe he's going to kill. That wasn't what was bothering me. You know what was bothering me? I couldn't understand. We know, Chazal say, there's three midos that are midos of the Yid. Rachmanim, Baishonim, and Goimlei Chasadim. I believe that there's no way in the world that this Oral over here, Hot Michin Zinin, it's not possible. So if he's going now and he's offering this Achesh somewhere, we're going to lose out. Because Halacha Esav Soine Yaakov, as we spoke out yesterday. And there's no way in the world that that's, when he heard he was a Yid, now I believe that Itaka has me in mind, and that's already when he was okay. So Rebbe said that Ra Maisa V'Nisker Halacha, that when he saw this Maisa with his father, he said, Yetz Vashteich Pshat, Vaterid Bas Pari Luchat Zayor. Pari went to bed. Say Chazal, Lirchatz Migilule Beisavir. How do you know that she was going to be Megaya? Maybe she was going to swim. How do we know it was Lirchatz Migilule Beisavir? You know what the answer is? Because the Pasuk says, Vatiftach Vatereu Sayelet, Vine Nar Boicha Vatach Melolov. She had Rachmanis on the child. If it were not for the fact that she became a Yid, she wouldn't have been Shaykh to have Rachmanis on Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it's only Yidin that are Rachmanim by Shonim and Gomel Chasodim. Dumas Olam don't have that Midah. If it's Vatach Melolov, then Bal Korchach, you have to say that it was Vatere Bas Paru Lirchoitz, not Stam Lirchoitz, but Lirchoitz Migilule Beisavir. Either way, again, that was the theme of this week of Vatachmoil. A Yid has to have Rachmanis. The Aloch is a mouth of a loiva, are governed by Rachmanis. And on that note, as incredible as it is, feels like we just started, we can begin a very short, the last perek, Masechtas Bava Metzia, perek Habayis. So the Masechta began with Shnayim Moichsim Betalis. Two people are holding on to a talis, and it concludes with two people that are holding on to the bricks and mortar of a house. You have two people that they share a house. One guy lives in the walk-up downstairs. The other person lives upstairs. The house, unfortunately, fell down. And now you have a lot of bricks and mortar and wood and alagitazachin, chandeliers. And the question is, what do you do with everything? So shneim cholkin be'etzim u'ba'avonim ba'ofer. The halacha is yachloiku. V'royin elu avonim asuyis lehishtaber. And we try to examine which person's stones would have been more likely to have broken, and we take that into account when we make the chalukah. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. What if one of the two parties recognizes the avonim? He says, oh, that's my brick. Noitlan, he can take it. We deduct it from the overall cheshbon. So again, the Gemara now is going to explain every part of this Mishnah. So the first line of the Mishnah was, The second halacha in the Mishnah was v'royin elu avodim asuya isleishtaber. We try to get a sense of when this house fell. There were probably avonim shleimos, avonim that were intact, avonim shvurois, avonim that had broken, and it could be you can bring in an engineer or somebody smart who can figure out whether it was the person that lived upstairs whose stones were more likely to have broken, or the person who lived downstairs whose more stones were likely to have been broken. In other words, we try to the best of our ability to determine whose is what. I mean, you don't just say yachloiku, but you try to give her. The problem is, how do you understand the Resha and the Seifa? Midik Tani Royin from the second line of the Mishnah, Michlal de Ikla Mekam Alayo. It's possible to determine. And the Gemara gives an example of how you determine. Ibe Chavasa Nafal, Ibe Chavata Nafal. Chavasa Nafal would mean that it came crashing down. The top floor just plots on top of the bottom floor. If that's the case, it would make sense that the bottom floor stones were the avanim shvurois, because the weight of the top floor came crashing down on it, and the one on top were the shleimais, or ibechavata nafal, or it tipped down. It just fell that way on a slope, in which case it would make more sense. The higher one, which fell from further, is probably the avanim shvurois, and the bottom one is the avonim shleimus. Meaning, it sounds like there's a way to figure this out. But if that's the case, why is the halachi achloiku in the reisha? Nechsi, why don't we do the same cheshbon? Meaning, isn't there a blatant contradiction between the first line of the Mishnah and the second line of the Mishnah? First line of the Mishnah says, yachloiku, just call it a day. Like a sumchis diga halacha. Maman abot besafik, we don't have a clue. Yachloiku. And then the Mishnah says, 1 second, let's sit down, let's figure it out. Fuck the Gemara. You have to say that the Resha and the Sefer are talking about two different cases. The Sefer, you're right, is talking about a case where you can figure it out. The Resha is talking about a case where you can't figure it out. Why not? Let's take a look at the stones. See Shleimois, Shvurois, and make the same calculation that you're making in the Sefer. So the Gemara says, well, it happened at night. I mean, it happened at night, you couldn't see. Okay, why can't you wait till the morning? The sun's going to come up the next morning. Why can't you wait until then? The paninu. By that time, the stones were gone already. V'lechsi man paninu. Why don't we go find out who cleaned up this mess? V'lashayle and ask him. The paninu b'nei Rosh HaSarab. It wasn't one specific person, but the sanitation department came. V'azul la'ama. They're gone. Fake the Gemara. Another kash on the Resha. Why is the lochi achloiku? V'lechsi b'shus deman yosvin. V'lahavit ha'cham moitzim mechavei olav arayo. Why don't we take a look at who the muchzik is and say ha'moitzim mechavei olav aray? And by the way, even if the time of the Mishnah sumchis, because the Gemara says sometimes amani sumchisi, but even if the time of the Mishnah sumchis, we learned in the sugi of Amachlet Bar V'chamar, that even Sumchis agrees that the halach is going to be Hamoitze Mechaveri Olav Araya if one person is the Muchzik. Where Sumchis disagrees with the Chachamim is if there's no Muchzik, it's a Medes Ba'agam and there's a Marakama. The Chachamim say Marakama, and Sumchis doesn't agree with Marakama. But to the extent that there's a Muchzik, Frey to Gemara, even Sumchis would agree Hamoitze Mechaveri Olav Araya, Leitzricha the Yasum Mechazit Shavayo. Either it was in a Chazit that belonged to both of them, meaning there's no muchzik. Inami b'shus harabim, again, there's no muchzik. V'iba yaseima, shutfim b'chi ha'gabim le'kapti adadi. One shutif is not so makbid on the other shutif. My chatzir, your chatzir, they live in the same building on a chatzir. So you're right, technically this belongs to Reuven, this belongs to Shimon, but there's no k'peder. Rashi says it works with hefker. Either way, therefore there was no muchzik. If there's no muchzik, the halach is going to be achleiku. Im hoya echad mehem makbid. The last line of the Mishnah was, if one of the two parties recognized Mikta Savanov, some of the stones. He has a tfiyas ayin on some of the stones. The halach is noitlan. He gets to keep it. However, you have to work it out when you do the cheshbon. What's the other person saying? Meaning Reuven says, oh, I know that. That's my brick for sure. And what's Shimon saying? Either come in. If he says, yeah, I agree, pshita, then there's no argument. I don't need a Mishnah for that. V'loy omar in. If he didn't say, I agree, lomanoito, why should he take it, my chazis. How do you know that Reuven's right? Maybe Shimon's right. El davele any idea? Probably he's saying, I don't know. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. If one person knows and the person doesn't know, the one that knows wins. But says the Gemara Lema Tavit Tuf, the Rav Nachman, and that's already told him. The Itmar, Monoli, Biyot, Chavalim, any idea? If Reuven goes over to Shimon and he says, you owe me a mana. And Shimon says, I have no idea. Rav Huna, Rav Yudah Amri Chayef. Rav Nach, Rav Yechon and Amri Potter. Meaning, Bari V'Shem, Bari Yadav, Allah Bari Yadav. It's a machloikis. If you're telling me that the one that's Bari is for sure going to get it, so you're passing Bari V'Shem, Bari Yadav. Leim Atavi Tuf to the Rav Nachman and Rav Yechon who hold that Bari V'Shem, Allah Bari Yadav. Incidentally, Tosfos asks the obvious question. We're not going to go into this now, but Tosfos asks the obvious question, something that we have gone into in the past, and that is, when do you say Bari V'Shem, Lav Bari Yadav? that's only where there's a muhsik. But over here we just said there's no muhsik. The case is talking about where there's no muhsik. If there's a muhsik, then the halacha wouldn't have been yachloiku in the resha of the Mishnah. But either way, so why? How could you say that the reason the bari gets it is because the other person is saying any adeya? That all works if you hold bari v'shem a bari yodiv. But if you hold bari v'shem a la bari yodiv, how's he going to learn the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Kadamar Rav Nachman, you're going to have to explain this Mishnah the same way Rav Nachman explained another Mishnah, actually several other Mishnayos. It's talking about where there was a chiyav shvua. This Mishnah is talking about where there was a chiyav shvua. Rava said, if somebody goes over to someone else, says you owe me $100, he says 50. Vashar, as it relates to the other 50, he says any idea, I don't know. So what's the halacha? He was a moedim a mixas, and a moedim a mixas. Taina has to swear shvur de raisa, swear shvur is a moedim a mixas. The problem is he can't swear shvur because what would the shvur be? I don't owe you the other 50. He doesn't know if he owes him the other 50. He said any idea. So mitoich she'ena yachal ishava. The rule is mishalim. It's that type of case that the Mishnah was discussing. The Mishnah was talking about a case where one of the two shutfim, the balabayas or the balaliyah, came and he said, oh, I recognize that stone. The other person said, chamshin yodana. He was a moedim amikzas. On the other half, he said, eni yodaya. He said, I'm not sure. There the halacha is, mitoich she'ena yachal ishava. He's not a koifer akoil of eni yodaya. He's a moedim amikzas, and he's an eni yodaya on the other half. Once he's moedim amikzas, there's a chiyav shvua. Now you have mitoich she'ena yachal ishava. The halacha is going to be mashalim. That's why he's going to have to pay. So even if you hold bari v'shem ala bari yodif, that's if there's no chiyav shvua. But if there's a basis for a shvua, and you can't swear because of your taina eni yodaya, that's mitoich she'ena yachal ishava mashalim. As mentioned, this is something that the Gemara says in so many places in Shas. Very often the Gemara will dray a rice from a Bari v'Shema situation where one person said Bari, the other person said Shema. It sounds like the Bari wins. It's not talking about a regular Shema. It's talking about where you were a Shema but Mikzas. You were a Moida on the other Mikzas. Once you're a Moida but Mikzas, there's the framework for a Chiyav Shvua. You can't swear that you don't know the other half because you're in Yodea. And the last words of the Mishnah was that we believe this person that's makir mikta savanov, as just explained. However, it gets deducted from the cheshman, meaning the cheshman really was supposed to be achloiku. Once he takes some, it gets deducted. So it's the Gemara. What does it mean? Achloiku is a bayavir rava. So the rava, the main rava thought, levi cheshvin shvurais, that the there were some avonim that were shleimos. There were other avonim that were shvuros. One of the partners was makir the avonim shleimos. We give him the avonim shleimos. The rule is still going to be achloiku, but he's going to end up getting a disproportionate amount of shleimos. Meaning it's still going to be achloiku. The question is who gets the shleimos, who gets the shvuros. So if it happened during the day, or you can ask, that was the second line of the Mishnah of Aroyin, Eilu avonim asu yus l'shtaber. But if it happened at night, which was the akimta that the Gemara made for the Reish of the Mishnah, then there's no one to ask. There's no way really to figure this out on our own. So what do? We just say achloiku. Over here says the Mishnah. If one person recognizes, then he can keep those shleimos. It's still going to be achloiku. He's just going to end up with more shleimos. Alma says the Gemara, keeping the amani a day, reyatzeh. Says Rava, which then means that what the Mishnah is saying is the any day is going to lose out. What do you mean he's going to lose out? He's not going to get less avonim. He's going to lose out shleimus. But Abaya told Rava, Adarabba, I don't see it that way. I think maybe that the person that was makir mixas avonim should lose out. Why? It's first glance, it would seem to be counterintuitive. Because mid ahani yada, being that he said these are mine, tvei lo yada, it's a reyes on the other ones. I mean, this person has a tvias ayin on his bricks. So if he has a tvias ayin on his bricks, why does he only recognize those? Why not the others? It's a shtikal reyes. Maybe it's mashma that he doesn't own the other bricks. Says the Gemara of Iduch, therefore everything else is kula dehechnenu. Maybe it belongs to the other person. So why is it so pasha? Because he's makir mixas avonim. Of that the scale should be tipped in his direction, that he'll get a disproportionate amount of the shleimus. Maybe it should be tipped in the reverse, but the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, Ella Omer Abaya. So Abaya said, Lefi Cheshben Shleimus. The other person is going to get the same amount of shleimus as this person is going to get, meaning he has no benefit over the other person. It's not fair that he should have a benefit. Why? Because just like on the one hand, he has the maila of Bari v'Shema in the context of Mitoich Sheni Yachal Shava Mashalim. He also has the Reyesa, that why do I only recognize this and not that? What then is he benefiting? He's going to get the Shleimus, but connected that, the other person is also going to get Shleimus. He's not getting anything more than the other person, other than the ones that he recognizes he gets to keep. But lo'umazeh, you have to make sure the other person is going to get an equivalent amount of shleimus. But so what did he benefit? These were better bricks. So not shleimus versus shvurais, but they were wider bricks that are maybe better. Or the tit from which these bricks were made of is better tit. So that's where he's going to end up benefiting. So we don't want him to benefit. We don't want him to benefit because although he has the Ma'il Bari V'Shem, but there's also a Chassar, and why does he only recognize this and not that? In the Mishnah, it's Mashma, he's getting something. What is he getting? He's getting to choose which bricks he wants. But for every brick he takes, the other guy is also going to get a brick. And not just that, for every Evan Shlema that he takes, the other person is also going to get an Evan Shlema. He cannot get anything that the other person does not